want him to come right now and deliver a message to us. For us, this is the youth, the future of a church, right? Of the Jacksonville Church, Palestine Church, of the Athens Church. This is the future generations. So if we can get the Word of God instilled in our heart when we're young, what's the scripture say about teach a child, and then when he gets older, he will not go away from the truth? So that's what we're doing here in this seminar. That's what we're about to do right now, is we are about to learn more about God. That way, when we get older, hopefully we won't stray too far away from the gospel. So, Mr. Grissom.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
¿Y cuántos dicen gloria a Dios? Amén. Aquí estamos presentes en la presencia preciosa de Jesucristo. Amen. We are here present in the powerful presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to say a big thank you to the Bacons and Sister Hart for all their hard work putting all this together. Thank you so much. Amen. And then to all of the speakers, instructors, and teachers, thank you so much for all of your work. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Amen. And to those of you that came from out of town or even from right here in Athens, just thank you for being here. Amen. It'd be awfully lonely here today without you, and it just wouldn't be worth the effort if you weren't here. So thank you for being here today, and God bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, you may be seated. There's a thing in the world that we call peer pressure. And it is simply pressure from those that you admire, those that you respect, those who are your friends, those who are around you, your acquaintances. If you're in school, those that are with you in school. If you're out of school, those that are on the job. Even in your church, everywhere we go, we have to deal with this pressure. Now let me say that even adults are not exempt from peer pressure. When you get to be an adult, you don't call it that. You call it keeping up with the Joneses. But it's still nothing but peer pressure. All of your life, you're going to deal with the fact of what other people put pressure on you to do what they think that you should be doing and what you should be as a person. One of the things that leads to peer pressure is low esteem. Now, let me tell you how to conquer low esteem. There's a lot of difference in humility and just simple inferiority or low esteem. And the difference is this. You see, a person that has low esteem and feels inferior, think about themselves, they're actually selfish. Now, I know that sometimes we confuse the two. And we think that humility is putting yourself down. That's not humility at all. Humility never puts itself down. Humility just doesn't think about itself. Its mind is on others and on the higher purpose and on God and on other things, but not on self. So when you think of yourself, and this is a process that we learn in life. You know, when we start out this thing, we're pretty selfish. You know that? Anybody ever been around a baby? You know, they don't care about anybody but themselves. They're noisy. They're loud. They're little stinkers. They don't care about nobody. Just themselves. They don't care. They don't care what time it is. They don't care what you're doing. They just scream and holler and kick and fuss until they get their needs taken care of. They're totally, totally selfish. That's just the way babies are. If they weren't cute, we'd kill them. That's the only thing that preserves the little boogers. God knew that when He made them. I do wish He would have made them with at least a volume control, if not an off button. But He didn't. He just made them that way. But they're totally selfish. And that's where we all started, by the way. You were no different when you were a baby. But then as you got older, the world still revolves around you. And as you get older, you begin to realize, hey, the world doesn't revolve around me. There's other people out there. And so that we begin to expand our boundaries and begin to understand some things about life. And but it's easy because it's normal that we weigh everything about how it affects me and what I want to do and how I want to be perceived, what I want people to think about me. And that's just as normal as you're breathing today. All of us deal with that, and all of us go through that. Lack of confidence lends to peer pressure. Amen. And how do you get confidence? You just keep doing till you get it right. Amen. And you find the things that you do well and the things you don't do well, leave it alone. Don't let somebody else force you into playing their game when you're not good at it. Make them play yours. Or at least play theirs and then make them play yours. Amen. Don't just go right through life feeling you can't do anything, because you can. Let me tell you something. God didn't make any junk. I said God didn't make any junk. God gave you a set of abilities, and God made you who you are, and that's your gift from God, but your gift to God is what you make of yourself. And you can become all that you really want to be. Amen. So lack of confidence, just keep trying. You find something you're good at and keep doing it. So you want to be that way, and you don't want to have a close bond with a bully. You talk about peer pressure. Amen. Don't be friends with bullies. That's peer pressure. They'll make you do things that you don't want to do. And just having fear of not being accepted. Amen. Let me just tell you this today. You are accepted in the Beloved. Jesus accepts you. And that's the most important thing of all. If you can understand that one thing in life, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you'll understand that He loves you and He accepts you and He approves of you and He understands you, then it'll go a long way in helping you to avoid peer pressure. You're getting ready to go into a situation that's unavoidable, and you know that there are going to be some things you're going to have to handle when you get there. The best thing to do is to go through that in your mind and understand the stand you're going to take and what you're going to say and what you're going to be before you ever get there. Amen. Just know who you are as a Christian. Know who you are. Have convictions in your life. Amen. Not long after I got the Holy Ghost, I was with my cousin. We were riding in a car with him and a couple other boys, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they decided they wanted to do something that as a Christian I couldn't do. So I had to make a statement, didn't I? It was either give in and go with them and do what they want to do, or I had to speak up. So I just said, you need to either take me home or let me out here and I'll walk, because I can't do that. You see, you may learn to make a stand. That gives you strength of character. And guess what? If you just without self-con, you're not trying to condemn anybody, you're not self-righteous, you're not preaching to them, you just simply state what your convictions are and let it stand. And they'll learn to respect you. Whether they agree with you or not, they'll learn to respect you. If you're wishy-washy, they won't. If you change your mind every other day, they don't know where you stand, they don't know what you believe. But if you take a stand for what's right and just be audible about it, again, you're not condemning, you're not preaching, you're not being self-righteous. You're just saying, this is what I believe, this is what I do. And that goes a long way in helping you deal with peer pressure. Because you have stated who you are, you have stated what you believe, and every now and then somebody's going to try that, but you just keep standing strong. Don't give in. Don't change. Don't stop. Just keep on standing, and they'll learn to respect you. Amen. And in peer pressure, never let people con you or pressure you into making fun of somebody else or treating someone else ill or bad. Amen. As Christians, we don't do that. As Christians, we don't do that. Amen. As Christians, we treat everybody the same. Everybody has value. Everybody's important. So don't take part in some bully game that wants to put somebody else down to make some little insecure jerk feel good about themselves. Actually, nobody feels good about it anyway. You can't feel good about putting somebody down. You never get a positive response from a negative basis. So if you put somebody down, that's not going to make you stand stronger. You can't even stand on top of them and get taller. You can't do that. Always, it'll make you look small, and it'll make you insignificant, and it'll make you less of an individual. So peer pressure is going to raise its head. It's going to be there. People are going to try to intimidate you, but if you will just stand strong against it, it has no power over you. Every temptation begins as a thought. You know, sometimes we talk about how strong the devil is. People get scared of the devil. All the devil can do to you is put a thought in your head. That's it. These people that say the devil made me do it, wrong. He can't make you do anything. All he can do is put a thought in your head. And then from there on, it's up to you what you're going to do with it. You can accept it or you can reject it. You can act on it or you can turn away from it. It's your decision. It's just up to you what you decide to do. One of the ways that we control peer pressure is to control our circle of friends. Control who you're around. If you're around people that make you feel bad, don't be around them. If you're around people that keep trying to get you to do things that you don't believe in doing, just get away from them. As somebody once told my wife, they don't buy your groceries. Get away from them. You don't owe them anything. Not even an explanation. But if they ask for one, just let them know. I can't be around you because we don't agree. You believe in things I don't believe in. You do things I don't believe in doing. So you just simply state yourself. And when you do that, intimidation loses all of its power. Hey, man. You know this thing of, you ever hear that saying that when you were growing up, did you ever hear somebody say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? You ever heard that? Did you know that's one of the biggest lies anybody ever told? Because everybody here has been hurt worse by words than just about anything else. Why do words have such a power to hurt us? Only if we believe them. Only if we believe them. Only if we believe them. Somebody's calling you something, that doesn't make you that. Somebody's saying something about you, that doesn't change who you are. Just understand who you are. And then when they say things that would try to intimidate or hurt you or force you into some action that you don't want to be a part of, just reject that. Stand strong. Be who you are. Know who you are in Jesus Christ. And it all begins to change. So choose your friends carefully. You know, friends, a true friend will never try to get you to do anything that's against what you believe in. A true friend will never do that. Now, there's people that might call themselves friends, but they're not friends. They try to force you, or if you are facing a temptation or trouble, and they try to encourage you to do something, rather than to encourage you to do the right thing, they encourage you to do the wrong thing, that's not a friend. So surround yourself by people that you know love God, are serious about living for Jesus Christ, are real Christians. Amen. Surround yourself with those kind of people that whenever you tell them something that you're going through, a temptation, something you're struggling with, number one, they won't repeat it. They won't go out and gossip and tell other people about it. But also, they'll pray for you and they'll pray with you to help you to get through that situation, so that you can come through victoriously on the other side. There was a young man in the Bible that had a problem. It was a problem that in its early initial stages, really he couldn't do anything about. Sometimes even good things, as a matter of fact, all sin is a perversion of what's good. It starts out as a good, but when it becomes an addiction, as we talked about this morning, or when it becomes a perverse use, but originally all was good because God created everything. And God didn't create anything bad. So everything is good, but you can take a good thing and you can use it the wrong way at the wrong time with the wrong person, and you can make even what's good to become sin. So all sin is a perversion of what God created for good. There was a young man by the name of Amnon who had a half-sister by the name of Tamar. It's okay to love your sister. As a matter of fact, you're supposed to love your sister. There's something wrong with you if you don't love your sister. But Tamar and or Amnon let his love for Tamar get out of hand. He started loving her in the wrong way. He actually wanted to take her as his lover. Now, in the particular time that he lived, we wouldn't approve of this today by any means, but in the particular time that Amnon lived, it would have been acceptable for him to marry his half-sister. Now, that's not acceptable now, but it would have been in those times. But he fell in love with his sister, and the thoughts kept coming into his head. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it made him physically sick that he could not have his half-sister. Now, he could have if he'd gone about it right. But he apparently didn't go about it right. So he was dealing with this temptation. Now, the good thing is he was dealing with it. He was battling it. He knew what was right. He was standing for what was right. He was fighting against the temptation. And that's what you're supposed to do. You just keep fighting. How long, Brother Grissom? Until you win. So he just kept fighting against this temptation, this desire to have his half-sister that would not have been right. And he knew it wasn't right. So he battled against it in his own mind until he shared it with his friend. But one day his friend saw him and he said to him, something's wrong with you. What's the problem? I mean, you're a king's son. Everything ought to be cool. You get to live in the palace, and you're the oldest in the family, and someday this should all be yours. What could possibly be wrong with you? And so Amnon, being his friend, opened his heart to Jonadab and shared everything with him. Now, Jonadab was not a true friend. Instead of encouraging him and strengthening him and said, "You're right, brother, you just keep hanging on. You just keep resisting. You're going to win over this thing. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to help you." But Jonadab didn't do that. Instead, he said, "Well, you're the king's kid. You can have anything you want. You're missing out on something here that you want, and there's no reason for you to deny yourself." And he began to give him excuses why he could and why he should give in. And he even helped him devise a plan. He said, "You're sick, aren't you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Go home, get in bed. Go in your bedroom, close the door. And when David comes to check on you, David the king comes to check on you, tell him you're sick, and you want Tamar to come and bring you some food. And then when she comes in the room, you just have your way. You don't need friends like that. Those friends will be your downfall. It was his. The sad thing is Amnon listened to the advice of his friend. And he did what Jonadab told him to do. And he raped his half-sister. And as soon as he had finished the act, the Bible says he despised her and he hated her. And his hate for her was just as great as his supposed love was before he did what he did. Let me tell you something. Sin's always like that. Sin makes a lot of promises, but it can never keep the promises that it makes. It promises a lot of pleasure, but when the pleasure is past, regrets come crashing in, and guilt and shame come crashing in like mighty waves, and they cover you like they did Amnon until his supposed love became a vehement hatred. I don't really believe that he hated Tamar. He hated himself. He hated what he had done, and he hated what he had become. But nonetheless, hatred replaced love. He never would have dreamed that would have happened. Let me tell you something about sin today. You never know where it will lead you. You never know what you're going to be when it's all finished and had its way. What does the Scripture say? Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Well, the wages of sin is death. Now, that's bad enough that what happened to Amnon was a terrible thing. That he, instead of loving, he became a hater. And guilt and shame consumed him. But you know what his sin also did to Tamar? It so destroyed her that she went into her brother's house, and I don't know whatever happened, but she stayed there for 2 years, crying and weeping. It took something from her that she would never be able to get back. You see, sin doesn't just affect one person. It affects all around. And it not only affected Tamar, but Tamar had a brother by the name of Absalom. And Absalom began to scheme in his mind how he could get even with Amnon. And it not only affected Absalom, but it affected David the king. It affected people all through the kingdom. There was this ripple effect that sin always has. It's never just one simple act. We people say things like that. Well, it's my life. It doesn't hurt anybody. Yes, it does. It's only me. It never is. It never is. It always affects you, and it always affects your family, and it affects your church. It affects your youth group. It affects your pastor. It affects everybody around you. Sin is never alone. Do you suppose the sin of Adam and Eve has affected us? That's where this all came from, wasn't it? Amen. That's where it all came from. And so, we have to be careful of the friends that we choose, because those are the ones that have great influence over you. Here's an interesting fact. You don't get to choose your parents. Now, if you have good parents, that's a wonderful thing. And thank God for it. But if you happen to not have such good parents, I'm sorry. But listen, one day, you'll be able to leave that situation. And you'll be able to be on your own. So you cannot choose your parents. And you cannot choose your home life. And you cannot choose what goes on around you there. But you can choose your friends. You can choose your friends. And so choose your friends very wisely, because they have a lot of effect on you. And they have a lot of influence in your life. So choose your friends very carefully. Well, Absalom schemed for 2 years, but he finally did it. He was able to coax Amnon and to go into a special party that he had prepared for the king's sons. And when Amnon came, he told his servants, he said, "You watch him. And when he gets drunk enough," he said, "you take your knives and you stab him to death." And that's exactly what they did. Those servants of Absalom, when Amnon had reached a certain place, they took their knives and they stabbed the very life out of him. And it was all a part of a large scheme. What about Jonadab? What do you think happened to him? Nothing. As a matter of fact, I got a feeling he was in on it the whole time. I really believe that he was scheming with Absalom against Amnon. Because you see, Amnon, the elder son, should have been the heir to the throne. He should have been the king of Israel. And with him out of the way, Absalom could become the king. So it appears that all the time, Absalom was using Jonadab to destroy Amnon, and maybe even his sister in the process. See, there's no end to how evil some people can be. Be very careful, the friends that you choose, because they make great influence in your life. The Bible says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that you can always count on. There is a friend that's always faithful. There is a friend that will always give you right advice. There is a friend that when the world walks out, he'll walk in. He'll always be there and never, ever leave you. There's a verse in the book of Ecclesiastes that talks about this friend. And the scripture says that two are better than one. Being alone is a scary thing, isn't it? I heard about a man one time. He was walking through the graveyard at night, and it was rainy and muddy, and lightning was flashing, and the thunder was crashing, and the ground was soaking wet, and it was slippery, and he was walking by an open grave, and he slipped down into it. Of course, immediately, he was so afraid, he trying to crawl out. It was full of clay and slippery, and he couldn't get out. So he tried, and finally sat down in defeat at 1 foot of the grave, and he said, "Well, I'll just wait here till the morning, and somebody will come and help me out." He sat there for just a few minutes, and suddenly a voice came from the other end of the same grave, and somebody said, "You can't get out of here." And he did. All he needed was inspiration. That's what life... See, when you have a positive influence, it's amazing what you can do. Sometimes even a negative influence works. But if he was alone, he couldn't have got out of there. But because he wasn't, he did. So it's amazing what two people can do. There's a scientific principle called synergy. That two or more, your efforts don't just, that's not addition, but it's multiplication. It doesn't just double, but it's magnified. And it becomes much greater. And so that's what happens when you know you're not alone. And hear me today, if you have Jesus as a friend, you're never, ever alone. Didn't he say it? He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." You're never, ever alone if you have Jesus in your life. Amen. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Right. Amen. So you never, ever are alone. Right. It's good to remember that. Amen. And He brings strength and power into your life. He brings caring into your life. Amen. The Bible talks about a peace that passes understanding. The only place you can get that is in Jesus Christ. But you can find, no matter how alone you may feel and how alone you may be, if you can find yourself a place of prayer and just an old-fashioned, what we call praying through, what does that mean? Exactly what it says. You just pray through everything until you touch God. And when you touch God, peace and joy and power come into your life and strength comes into your life because you have touched the very throne of God and the heart of God, and He responds to your prayer. And friend, that's a powerful friend to have. You're not alone. You'll never be alone. You will never be alone. He's always with you. And if you don't take anything else from here today, please remember that. Amen. The Bible says if there's two working together, it said, have you ever needed somebody just a helping hand? Have you ever had this hand full and this hand full and something balanced on one foot and something in your teeth and you're thinking, oh, so comes in another hand. You ever been in a situation like that? All you need is just one more hand. It would be so nice. I've been there. And it's so nice when somebody walks up and says, can I help? You say, and they come and they relieve you of some of your labor. Amen. So to have somebody to help you means a whole lot. And then the Scripture talks about, in the same context, it talks about a threefold cord. It says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Years ago, when I was in school, we read on stone tablets and rode dinosaurs in school. Now, it wasn't that far back. But a long time ago, I hope they still do this, but there was a story that we read about a father that had seven sons. And he presented those sons with a bundle of sticks, had seven sticks. And he said to the young, strong young men, he said to the one that can break this bundle of sticks, he said, I'm going to give a great reward. Well, the young men, they each one proud of his strength, they all tried to break the bundle of sticks. And none of them were successful. Finally, the last one had tried, brought the bundle of sticks back to the old father, and they said, Dad, none of us can do it. He said, but let me show you how. And they looked at him, and old and withered, and they thought, how in the world's this old man going to do something that we couldn't do? And very simply, he undid the twine that held the sticks together. Then he took them one by one, and he broke them. And they said, well, we could have done that. He said, the lesson that you learn is, he said, that united, we stand. Divided, we fall. So the threefold cord, when you have Jesus Christ in your life, you're not going to be broken. No matter what outside force tries to break you, it's impossible because they can't break Him. It's like taking the thread and weaving it through the links of a chain. The thread's fragile and easily broken. But when it becomes one with the chain, the thread takes on the strength of the chain. And it becomes impossible to break. So when you weave your life into the life of Jesus Christ, it takes on that strength. And you become so strong, it's impossible for an outside force to destroy. Amen. Praise God. It's important that we have Him as our friend. He's the best friend. He'll never leave you astray. Amen. He'll always lead you right. Amen. He'll always lead you right. Let's stand together this evening. Amen. And thank you so very much. I know that you're anxious to get to the activities and the fun stuff. Amen. But you know what? I think it'd be good if we'd just come around this altar for a moment. If you'd just all come and stand here. And now. And then I want you to, everybody, take a hand and just make a circle just as far as you can. Not anybody alone. Everybody needs a hand here. Amen. Everybody take a hand. Don't want anybody to be left out. Amen. I want everybody to have a hand. There's a place out on the west coast of California called the Redwood Forest. And that forest has, it's withstood everything, fire and hurricanes and all kinds of inclement weather and famines, and just everything. Dry, drought. It's never, nothing has ever destroyed it. You know why that is? Because the roots of those trees, rather than just being individual, all the roots have grown together. So it's not just one tree anymore. But this tree not only draws strength for itself, but if it needs help, it can draw strength from this tree, and from that tree, and from that tree, and from that tree, because all of the roots have grown together. That's the importance of being in the body of Christ. You're not alone.
Right.
You see, you not only have strength for yourself, but you draw strength from your brothers and sisters that are all around you.
Right.
And you're never, ever alone. Amen. Praise God. So let's talk to the Lord right now, and let's ask Him to strengthen us and to help us and help us to be great Christians, good examples. And help us to also be a strength to others. Jesus, I come here today to give my life fresh and new to You. I know I've given time and time again. I'm no stranger to the altar. I've been here many times. But I come one more time here today. And I want to give You my best. And I want to ask You to help me. Because I'm not only standing for myself, but I'm standing for my brothers and my sisters, those that are around me. God, that's why it's so important that I make it. Not only for me, but for those that are watching me, and those that love me, and those that have invested into my life. That's the main reason, God, that I want to be strong. It's not only for myself, but for others. So come here today in the power of Your Holy Ghost. Help us, each one, reach deep down to the core of our being. Help us to dig out anything that's not like You. Help us to reject all weakness. Amen. And anything that's not like the Lord, help us, oh God, to reject that. Amen. Help us to be strong enough, realize that even if I don't have any of my brothers and my sisters around me, it seems like I'm all alone, that they're there. Their prayers are there. And their love is there. Their encouragement and their testimony is there. So I'm never alone, but always You're with me. I ask You to help us today. Make us strong. Use us, God, for Your glory and Your honor. We give You thanks in Jesus'
name. In Jesus'
name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I have a friend. His name is Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I have a breath. His name is Jesus.
Oh, yes, Lord. I love
You. Oh, Jesus.
I love You, Jesus.
He's
I love
a rock.
You,
Jesus. He's the rock
I love you,
that I lean on. Oh, He is my shelter from every storm. You.
Praise God.
Oh, let the wind come.
Let the wind come.
Let the rain flow.
Hallelujah.
There is a place that I can go. I have a friend. I have a friend.
He's taken closer than a brother.
I have a friend. His name is Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless you. Praise God. Brother Bacon, please come.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Grissom. That was awesome. Yeah. Awesome message. Hallelujah. So while y'all are over here listening, they're over there getting the volleyball net, everything ready. Not outside, but inside the gym. So it won't be as hot playing. The only problem with that is can't play basketball and volleyball at the same time, so got to choose one or the other. So we can play volleyball for a while, and then if we get tired of that, we take it down and play basketball. There's also a pool table in there. I don't know how much pulling you're going to get done if volleyball is going on, but where there's a will, there's a way. Y'all got the will, and somebody got the way. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. If you have to leave, we understand. If not, you are more than welcome to stay the rest of the afternoon as long as you guys want. As long as y'all are here, I'm here. But once y'all start leaving, I'm going to leave. No. One more time, we want to ask Brother Allen, if he will pray in dismissal of the sessions of the church setting here and. Just ask God to help us take this information that we have learned and apply it to our lives. We can hear a lot of stuff. All of you kids and young kids learn stuff in school, but sometimes you don't think, I'm never going to use this. Whenever I was in school, you know, fractions and algebra and stuff, I was thinking, I'm not going to use this stuff. But guess what I do every day at work? Fractions, algebra, decimals. So there's things that you don't think you're going to use in life, you're going to use them. This right here, you're going to go through these battles. You're going to have to choose friends. You're going to have to make right decisions. So, if you will, brother, pray that God will help us.
I'm going, that's what's in my head.
And then you turned around and told me, like, the second
after I thought of it. Meant to be. I love that song. Also, one thing I forgot to remember, there's some books and stuff up here on the front that is very helpful for your walk with God, for your walk in a Christian life. So if you want to stop by and look at this stuff, write it down, jot it down, and I'm sure you can find it on Amazon or eBay or wherever.
a pretty song. It's a swingy.
Yeah, it's got that kind of...
It does.